I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wim Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost in very, very improbable fashion to Jeremy Lamb and the Charlotte Hornets by a score of 115-114 at Scotiabank Arena on Sunday afternoon. It was, let's start at the end. Jeremy Lamb hit a half-court, banked-in buzzer beater with a hand in his face after the Raptors made a great comeback, down 14 points in the fourth quarter. I'll get, you know, two of the reasons why the Raptors were down 14 in the first place to the Hornets in the fourth quarter. But nevertheless, the Raptors made a 14-point comeback in the fourth quarter, took the lead. Kawhi Leonard hit a clutch jumper to give the Raptors the advantage, and then also came up with what looked to be a game-saving block. And the Hornets were inbounding the ball, no timeouts, nothing left on the clock, 3.1 seconds. On the inbound, Pascal Siakam, who played great, fantastic defense to even get the Raptors into that position, made another great defensive play by getting his hand on the ball, tipping the ball past half court. And so Jeremy Lamb had to go into the backcourt to collect the ball and literally just threw up a half court heave. And it went in. It went in. He banked it in. The Hornets walked off with the win. It was an incredible moment for the Hornets, who, you know, on the brink of basically missing the playoffs, on the brink of potentially losing a guy like Kemba Walker in the offseason, depending on, you know, what happens in free agency. They go into play Boston. They, you know, come back from a double-digit deficit there in the fourth quarter to take that win. And then on the back-to-back, to be honest, they had a very impressive game against the Raptors. And, you know, the Hornets definitely had much more desperation. There was a bit of luck, obviously, at the end with Lamb's three. I mean, it is one of the greatest shots I've ever seen to win a game. And it's hard to be mad at that. But, again, like I said in the first place, the Raptors shouldn't have even been in a position where a buzzer beater at the end would, you know, ultimately decide the game. Like, the Raptors are much better than the Hornets just as a team. But they kind of played a very arrogant game. And you can understand that based on the fact that the Raptors have very little to play for and the Hornets have a lot to play for. But if you just look at it across the board, the Raptors didn't lose this game because they couldn't score on the Hornets. They shot 58%, shot 42% from three, and they moved the ball beautifully, 29 assists, right? There wasn't any of that. It was just really hustle and focus. Those are the two areas where the Raptors completely slipped up, right? You look at focus, for example. The Hornets had 41 three-point attempts. Now, they got some ridiculous three-point shooting out of guys like Dwayne Bacon, who, coming into this game, had 18 total makes on the season, and he hit 5 threes in the third quarter alone. But, again, the Raptors shouldn't be giving up 41 threes if they execute their defensive rotations properly. I thought, you know, there's some blame to go around in terms of the players executing, but also it was on Nick Nurse for basically designing a defensive strategy centered around completely shutting down Kemba Walker. And that worked. Kemba only had 15 points on 3 of 17 shooting. You'll take that, of course. But, you know, the price of holding Kemba to those 15 points was that the Raptors came out, played really aggressively, consistently had their bigs out of the paint. Guards were able to either swing the ball to the open man or get past the initial double team and then completely just, you know, cause havoc. And the Hornets just got so many open corner threes. And look, the Raptors did a good job of protecting the paint. But again, you just can't give up 41 threes and really expect to win a lot of games. You're just leaving yourself way too vulnerable. And that's what happened here today. The Hornets got hot. They hit 18 threes. And that's that. But it's the same issue that they had against OKC, right? They allowed 43 three-point attempts to OKC in on Wednesday. That was in Oklahoma City. And on Friday, it was the same deal. OKC shot 43 threes, and they made 20 of them. And it's kind of the same thing with the Hornets, right? The Hornets hit 18 threes. I mentioned after Friday's loss that the Raptors have this issue with guarding these quick point guards. And, you know, I think Walker attacked differently in a very different style than Russell Westbrook, but the Raptors kind of treated them both the same. And Kemba was able to move the ball effectively. He had 13 assists. I'd rather Kemba have 40, 45 points on single coverage and, like, you know, two assists than him having 15 points and 13 assists and the rest of the team get hot, because, you know, it's just hard to see one man beating the entire team, whereas if he gets everyone else involved, which is what he did today, you know, it just gave the Raptors problems. But honestly, even beyond Nick Nurse's game plan and things like that, the Raptors just didn't give great effort in this game. Like, the bench, for example, just a really, really poor effort from the bench again. Now, Norman Powell was the exception. He did come off the bench, but he only played in the second half, you know. But guys like Jeremy Lin, guys like Pat McCaw, Serge Ibaka when he first came in. I mean, Serge Ibaka's first shift where he played 10 straight minutes, he was awful. Just awful in those 10 minutes. Like, he just didn't give any effort defensively. Wasn't able to challenge shots at the rim. You know, people were just hitting floaters and layups right past him. And his role, obviously, on the team is to be a rim protector. And he just wasn't protecting the rim. You know, conceding a bunch of offensive rebounds. Serge Ibaka didn't have a single defensive rebound in 18 minutes, whereas the Hornets had 14 offensive rebounds to the Raptors 3. So that's ugly. And, you know, it was just hustle and effort. I mean, more than anything else, the Hornets had 16 more field goal attempts than the Raptors. And even though you can shoot 48% and, you know, limit the Hornets to 44%, it doesn't matter when the other team can get 16 more shots. And a lot of that just speaks to what I said earlier. Focus and effort. And the Raptors are just kind of lacking in that. I mean, you know, down the stretch here, the Raptors finally have everyone healthy, but, you know, they're kind of locked into the two seed here, and they're just not playing with the same kind of urgency as most other teams, because they kind of know their fate is set. They're obviously looking ahead to the playoffs. The schedule's really weak. There's no big reason for the team to get engaged, but the Raptors just, you know, they didn't have it. They didn't have it, right? They gave up 68 points between the second and third quarters. And, you know, they did make this fourth quarter comeback. That was very impressive. It was very fun to watch. Pascal Siakam playing small ball 5. Nick Nurse got really desperate. He cycled through all sorts of defensive coverages in effort to get the Raptors to engage. He tried the zone defense. You know, usually that works. This time it didn't work at all, especially with the Hornets being so hot from 3. You know, he tried, you know, trapping the point guard up higher, coming up, you know, even on the screen. He tried a lot of stuff. It just wasn't working. And so he went to Pascal Siakam at small ball center. And it really did work in the sense that the Raptors were able to switch everything, 1 through 5, and limit the Hornets in terms of their pick and roll play, because the Hornets were able to just literally spam pick and roll and get an open shot every single time. But when you do switch everything, you do limit the penetration and you really force the other team to score one-on-one. Kemba looked kind of gassed. He really couldn't score too much one-on-one. And even when he got to the basket, the Raptors had pretty good help defense from the likes of Norman Powell, who had a block. Danny Green had a great block. Kawhi Leonard with a clutch block. Yeah, and it just goes to show how much effort was a part of that game, because Pascal, when he played backup center, he was giving great effort. The rest of the team was really engaged. Nobody wanted to get beat one-on-one. Everyone kind of took the challenge personally, and they played great. You know, one of the guys during that run, Norman Powell, was also very impactful. It was very strange about this game. So Norm didn't get any minutes in the first half while, you know, Jeremy Lin got his run and, you know, was not effective at all. Pat McCaw got his run, not effective at all. And, you know, all of a sudden, okay, you turn back to Norm, who you decided to randomly bench. And then Norm gives you this great effort off the bench. Now, obviously, Norm doesn't play like this all the time, but he had 10 points in 12 minutes, hit 2 threes, you know, finished 2 layups in the paint. But even defensively, you know, made great reads off the ball, came up with 2 steals in the fourth quarter there, a block. So, you know, Norm was playing great, and he was really engaged. His defensive effort and everything was there. Execution was there. And it really just makes you wonder sometimes, right? Like, what are the Raptors doing with the rotation? Like, I get that everyone's been injured all year, and now they got Kyle back in the lineup. And so, you know, Nick Nurse is going to want to see how everyone plays with everyone else. But at the same time, like, this is game 74 of the season, and we're still trying out Jeremy Lin and Pat McCaw together and playing an all-bench lineup of OG and Anobi with Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, Jeremy Lin, Pat McCaw, which the Raptors have, at this point, they have to know that that doesn't work at all. And literally every time they share the floor together, they're bleeding like 5, 6, 7, 8 points. Like, what is the point of doing that? And it does make you wonder, because again, if Powell had played this whole game instead of a guy like McCaw, who gives you 2 points in 11 minutes and didn't play much defense, was a minus 17 as well, like, could this game could have shifted, right? And really, like, I get the Nurse wants to give everyone a shot. I'm sure he will eventually pare down his rotation, but I've been saying that for like weeks, months even, that Nick Nurse will eventually pare down his rotation. So when's it going to happen? It's game 74 of the season. Who are the nine guys that you're going to play? And then just, can you just please play those nine guys in a repeatable pattern going forward so that everyone can understand their role? Because at this point, it's getting crazy, right? Like, Pat McCaw shouldn't see 11 minutes in a game like this. He just shouldn't. He really shouldn't. Jeremy Lin shouldn't see any time now that Kyle and Fred VanVleet are there to handle a point guard. So that was a bit frustrating to see, but at least the Raptors, you know, give them credit for making that furious comeback. Again, if they play with that effort throughout the game, they would have just won the game very easily, mind you. But over to some of the more positive portions of the game. The starting unit worked really well. Marcus Gasol, after only taking one shot against the Thunder on Friday, it seemed like the team has made a concerted effort to get him more shots. So he took 9 today. He, you know, very early on in the game, off a baseline inbound, Gasol faded out to the perimeter. Kyle found him with an inbound pass, and Gasol, you know, normally he would catch that pass and try to, like, you know, work a dribble handoff or something. But, you know, Gasol immediately, you know, caught the pass and took the three. He made it. Overall, he shot 7 of 9 from the field and had 17 points in 23 minutes. Very efficient night. It helps that the Hornets don't have any good centers at all. So, you know, he was out there with guys like Marvin Williams guarding him in the post, or Frank Kaminsky, or Hernan Gomez. And, you know, Gasol was able to have his way. But it's just, you know, it's nice to see. I mean, but ultimately, even with Gasol's not trying to impose himself onto the game, like, he can still be effective. And, you know, he still was a great playmaker. He had 6 assists, which tied the Raptors on the team high. 3 blocks, a steal, very effective defensively around the basket. And so, I don't know, Gasol had a good game. It was a little bit strange that he didn't see any time in the fourth quarter at all. I get where Nick is coming from. He obviously saw that, you know, Pascal at 5 and switching everything was a very effective move, and they were making a comeback. So he didn't go back to Gasol, even though Gasol had a really good game. But, you know, it still is a little bit weird that Gasol played so well and just didn't see any minutes in the fourth quarter. But, you know, that was a positive. Kawhi, very efficient throughout the game. I mean, just his usual steady self. I thought in crunch time, he was very poised. The Raptors did a good job of getting him the ball. The Hornets didn't really double him very much down the stretch for some strange reason, and so he was able to score. Also came up with a big block on Kemba Walker. It's nice to see a player who's not phased at all just during crunch time. It's just Kawhi has consistently delivered for the Raptors, and he did that again today. Pascal, I mean, he was great. In terms of 3 stars, you got to give Pascal the first star just based on his hustle and energy in the fourth quarter. He had 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, 9 of 14 shooting in 36 minutes. One minor issue was the turnovers. Like, he had 7 on Friday and he had 5 today. Some of it was just kind of sloppy, like ball handling and stuff. But, I mean, Pascal at this point has really cut down on his mistakes and just become a very productive player. So it's hard to get on him for that too much. Kawhi gets the second start, 28 points, 10 of 18 shooting, 2 of 6 from 3, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, plus 10 in 34 minutes. Kawhi was great. And then the third star, I guess I would give that to, I mean, ordinarily I give that to Gasol, but for his importance in the comeback, I'm going to give that to Norman Powell instead. 10 points on 4 or 5 shooting, 2 of 2 from 3, an assist, 2 steals, and a block in 12 minutes. Very effective minutes off the bench. Obviously, Powell doesn't always play like that, but, you know, because he has that kind of potential, especially two-way potential, I feel like that's one of the reasons why Nick Nurse should keep Powell in the lineup at least, right? Like, you know, it's nice. Jeremy Lin can give you some offense, although really at this point, I don't even know if that's possible. And McCaw can give you some defense, but the only guy who can give you offense and defense off that bench is Norman Powell. And so, you know, you guys just kind of got to ride it out with Norm. And for the most part, Norman's taking better shots of late. He's definitely taking better shots than Jeremy or Pat McCaw at this point. So, you know, that's that. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, look, it's not anything that's going to affect the Raptors in the playoffs or anything like that. You know, like, obviously they know what's important and they've prioritized and they said it all season. I mean, Kawhi Leonard even said he's treating the regular season like 82 practices, although it's really like 58 practices and some load management. But regardless, right, the mindset is clearly there. But, you know, it's just annoying to see the Raptors not take these games that seriously, right? Like, the Raptors should have won this game, period. It shouldn't have come down to that Jeremy Lamb three. And, you know, it's areas where they have the ability to just tighten these things up, but they just don't. Like, the fact that they're giving up 41 threes and 14 offensive rebounds, like, and getting out-hustled up and down the floor up until the fourth quarter, like, you know, the Hornets, they're playing the second night of a back-to-back on the road, and the Raptors are a really good home team. Like, you should just take care of business in that case, right? Like, you look at the Bucks. The reason why the Bucks are going to win the number one seed is that they've had this focus, and they've gone all out, and they've just executed, you know, from start to finish. And the Raptors just have so many spells of inconsistency that it hurts the team. And you know, ultimately, that's why the Raptors, you know, despite all this talent on the roster, are still a little bit disappointing, because they're not consistently focused, they're not consistently locked in. And, you know, that's where you would just hope that the Raptors will finish the season strong, because this is a good team. It's a very good team. Obviously, there's a lot of potential, there's a lot of talent, but you can't just always get by on potential. Sometimes you just got to work. And the Raptors just didn't do enough work today. So in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, a lot of candidates on this case. Jeremy Lamb, obviously, in that three is a very strong case. But I'm giving it to Dwayne Bacon, who actually led the Hornets in scoring. Again, this man had 18 threes made on the entire season coming into this game, and then he hit 5 1/4. So that's ultimately, you know, what a Gerald Henderson Award entails. That's peak Gerald Henderson, to be honest. I mean, Gerald Henderson literally used to play for the Hornets and used to kill the Raptors all the time. So Dwayne Bacon carrying on his legacy. So that does it for the podcast. Once again, please subscribe to the Raptors Over Everything podcast feed. It's up live wherever you want to find your podcast. And if you have used a podcatcher and you can't find the podcast feed for some reason, just drop me a line on Twitter and I'll pass it along. But please subscribe to the show. If you are a fan of the show, please give it 5 stars and rate it and write a review in the iTunes store. That definitely helps drive traffic and helps surface the podcast. So please do that and to support the show. Once again, that's Raptors Over Everything. And yeah, so I'll be back on Tuesday after the Bulls game. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.